here before, we're going to be talking about overcoming fear. And we're going to look into the life of Joshua in order to discuss that this morning. But let's bow our heads in prayer first. Father, how we thank you for the truth of your word, Lord. A truth that stands the test of time, Lord, over the years, over the centuries, over millennia, Lord. Your word remains true and it applies to us, Lord. And I'm praying that you open that holy word to us, Lord, so that we may understand what you want to say to us today. Give us, Lord, ears to hear you. I'm praying, Lord. And Father, I just ask that even though what I say may be forgotten, what you say in our hearts today, Lord, will stand forever. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Does it seem like there are more commercials than ever on TV today? Yeah, no. Well, it's true. The number of commercials shown in a typical hour of television has been increasing steadily over the past 5 years. And there was a report in the LA Times citing a study from Nielsen. You know, they're the people who keep track of what's on TV and what people watch, and so forth. And now it sits at 28 commercials per hour. Broadcast networks are averaging 15 minutes and 38 seconds an hour last year, up from 14 minutes and 27 seconds. That's a whole minute more in the last year. Lord, help us. According to the report, which means that over one quarter of each hour spent watching TV is spent in commercials. Wow. And that's even more true of the news program. Maybe you've noticed that. They say, well, we're back in a minute. And 3 minutes later, you know, they're back. Okay. And what I want you to understand is that influences what news stories make it into the broadcast and how they're handled. Why is that? Because of fear. Let me explain. Fear motivates us so strongly. Dr. Matt Grawich, writing in Psychology Today, says that, quote, most media stories involve reports of events, and a vast majority of those reports are negative. The reason for this is that negative news tends to generate a lot more interest, a lot more clicks than positive news. We're motivated to be wary of information that can adversely affect us, and negative news stimulates that motivation. The problem, though, he says, is that constant exposure to negative information about certain topics can skew our frame of reference, leading to what he calls an overrepresentation of potential threats. That's nice, you know, scholarly language to say they use a lot more fear-motivated stories to motivate us to watch more. See, we're bombarded by negative news. That makes us more fearful than we really should be. And they take advantage of that because fear motivates us to watch the news more, and that makes it so the media moguls make more money. They get more money for each of those commercials, and now they're putting even more of those commercials into that news hour to build up their salaries. Okay, here's an example of what I mean. Just a couple of days ago, the HuffPost posted this headline. What's the deal with the fake Botox that's making everyone sick? Everyone? Wow. Is that true? Wow, sounds like another pandemic. My goodness. Hey, my friend takes Botox for migraines. I better keep up on this story. you know, and hey, if my wrinkles get too bad, I may want to get it myself, so I better make sure I don't get sick. Okay, the actual truths and the details. Listen to this. Here's the real news release. On Friday, the CDC reported that at least 22 people in 11 states have had bad reactions, including slurred speech, trouble breathing, and blurry vision after receiving counterfeit versions of the wrinkle smoothing treatment. No deaths have been reported. 22 people across the country. All right, that's less than a fraction of a percent of the population. 22 people. Everyone's getting sick from Botox. Oh my goodness. 22. Now, for those 22 people, that's pretty serious stuff when it affects your breathing and everything. And it's an important thing for us to know. But I think it's really being overhyped in the media, all right, to create some kind of a panic. Why? To feed on our fears. No wonder fear is so widespread in our society. And did you know, for instance, they did some surveys, or somebody always doing a survey these days, some kind of a test. You know, you get paid for doing that kind of stuff if you're in college research or something. So they're always thinking of something to test. And one of the things they tested was children, how fearful they are compared with how much television they watch. No big surprise. The kids that were in front of the screen the most were the most fearful. You know, I don't think that's just children. I think it's true of us adults as well. Fear is widespread. Now, to be sure, there are some pretty scary things going on in addition to all the hyped up, made up fears. Okay? We listen to the news, we're afraid of what's happening to our country. You know, we hear that protesters are demanding that the United States stop supporting Israel, that they're threatening Jewish students and even professors, sometimes even with death. Can you imagine? You know, I thought we were done with all that kind of prejudice on the campuses, but no. And you wonder, how bad will it get? The attacks on Israel by Hamas and now Iran, and what's going on in Ukraine, make us afraid that there's going to be a wider war, right? And I think, gee, what if my kids and my grandkids have to go? What if one of them is killed in the fighting? We hear about friends who have cancer or a heart attack, and we wonder, especially at my age, you wonder, gee, am I next? You know? Which one of us wants to go through the ordeal like Pastor Wayne has had to deal with, for example? Well, then there's crime. You heard about that woman, maybe, who was beaten up on the steps of her church and robbed, for example. My goodness, aren't we even safe going to church anymore? No wonder people are afraid. And what about those scams that make it so people can steal our savings or take over our house? Could that happen to us? See, what really scares us is the fear of the unknown, right? And we get that fear fed by the seemingly impossible, we can't believe this is happening, kind of stuff that's going on in our country all the time. So as Christians, we need to know, how can we overcome fear? Well, I think by looking at how God challenged Joshua, we can learn some things that will help us. Let's turn to it. Joshua chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 1 through 9. Joshua, the book right after the first five books of Moses. And again, we're reading Joshua 1, 1 through 9. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, The Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' aide, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give them. To the Israelites, I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the great sea on the west." I want to just stop and say, you know, the big rallying cry of the Palestinians is, from the mountains to the sea, or from the river to the sea, Palestine shall be free. God says, from the river to the sea, it belongs to Israel. Okay? "No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." This is the word of the Lord. Now this was just the very message that Joshua needed to hear from God. All right. But if we're going to understand what was going on, what was in his mind and in his people's mind at that time, we have to kind of take a step back and look at what had happened 40 years before that, before they had to go into the wilderness. Because we need to do that, to remember what brought them to this place and why, if we're going to have any understanding of what's going on in the opening chapter of Joshua. God had told them that it was time to go into the promised land. They'd spent that 40 years in the wilderness, and now it was time for the next generation to move into the land. But see, what that meant for them is they were going to war. So there was a joy, I'm sure, in their hearts as they thought, hey, we're finally going to get the land that God gave us. But God gave it to them. They had to occupy it. They had to defeat the people that were living there and take that land. And God said he'd go with them. But they were the ones who had to go to war. I can remember the night before the big attack that started up the Gulf War. All right, I had a son in college and another who was in high school. And as we approached that war, as it became clear that Saddam Hussein was not going to surrender, and that we were going to have to invade, I'm telling you, my heart was gripped with fear that my boys were going to have to go to war. You know? War is a terrible thing. And in the situation as we read about it, most observers who would have looked at what was going on there would have said that Israel was the nation who would lose in this battle. After all, they were the ones without walls, attacking walled cities. They were the ones who were just a bunch of nomads, not a seasoned army. And their foes were really strong. Remember what the majority of the Jewish spies said after seeing the land of Canaan. Look at Numbers chapter 13. We'll read just a few verses there, 28, 31, 32, and 3. where the people were saying, the spies rather, who had come from the land, the majority of them said, only Joshua and Caleb disagreed, the people living there are powerful. Their cities and towns are fortified and very large. We can't go against them. They're stronger than we are. All the people we saw were huge. We even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. We felt like grasshoppers next to them. That's what some of the rest of us feel when we come to full. Right? Feel like grasshoppers. No, not really. But anyway, and here's the statement that really reveals their fear. And that's what we looked like to them. See, in their mind, they'd already decided they were beaten. They already knew, because these guys were so big and strong, and they thought, well, they see us as grasshoppers. They didn't know what the people thought. It was in their own minds they were grasshoppers. Right? They had grasshopperitis. You ever get that? Where you think, I'm so small and weak I can't accomplish anything for God. Yeah, well, that attitude, that's right. You never will. When the people heard about this grasshopper report, you know, they didn't even have social media. They didn't have TV. But just word of mouth, the panic spread. It can spread even faster. Now, you know, remember those days when you thought, oh, how are we going to get toilet paper? Right? Wow. Numbers 14, 1 to 3. All the people began weeping aloud, and they cried all night. Their voices rose up in a great chorus of complaint against Moses and Aaron. We wish we had died in Egypt, because we're going to die now. No, I have trouble with that logic. Think about it. We're going to die in war. Better than we had died in Egypt and we'd already be dead, that's a sure thing? That doesn't make any sense. That just shows how mixed up you can get when you panic. All right? We wish we had died in Egypt or even here in the wilderness, they wailed. Why is the Lord taking us to this country only to have us die in battle? Our wives and little ones will be carried off as slaves. Well, you know what? They weren't so crazy to be fearful. You know, war is always terrifying. And today, we have bullets and bombs and missiles at a distance. And in those days, it was swords and spears and axes right in front of you, face to face, up close and personal. It was even more bloody than it is now. And the way of warfare back then was such that all the men on the losing side were killed, all the women and children and livestock were taken captive as spoils of war. Every time you go into war, there's a great unknown. You know, they call it the fog of war, right? The planners all are sure of what's going to happen, but somehow it never happens that way. It never happens like they plan on it happening. Battles never unfold exactly as they're planned. You don't know whether your enemy's going to use poison gas or anthrax or atomic weapons. You know, I just read a story that said that the vaunted M1 tank that the United States spent decades developing, they found that now that they've got these drones, that it's got a tremendous weakness. That if it's attacked by a drone from above, it can be blown up very easily. Right? When they designed it, they didn't have drones. It's never very sure what's going to happen in a war. Right? You never know whether your enemy will even use a cyber attack to disable our technology. The first attempts at that are going on right now. Every now and then you hear about a big cyber attack. That's one of the biggest ways that war is going to be fought in our time. Terrorism's that way too. They try, the Homeland Security people try to figure out what the terrorists are going to be doing, but there's just too many targets to protect, too many evil people and evil countries like Iran, for example, too many reasons to hate what this country stands for. And that's why most of it's expected at some time the terrorists are going to strike again. And there's reason to be afraid when it's simply a matter of time. Well, then there are other fears, financial fears, you know, driven by the stock market going up and down and crazy all the time. And you wonder, you know, is my 401k going to survive? Or maybe your 401k is already gone. Or maybe you didn't even start one because you can't really afford it. And you're looking ahead and you're thinking, I got to stop working sometime. What am I going to live on? You know? Then you see the reports of people who've been scammed out of their life savings, or squatters who move in and take over your house while you're on vacation, and it's illegal to get them out of there, they say. Or identity theft. Wow. It's a lot to be afraid of, right? So do we just learn to live our lives in fear? No. Instead, I want to suggest to you that the Lord is saying the same thing to us that he said to Joshua in his fearful time. Look at it again, Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Oh, you say, that sounds really nice. Just be strong and courageous, God's with you. But I'm still scared. How can we do that with all the things we have to be afraid of? Well, here's one technique. One technique is to confront the unknowns with confidence in the one who knows. I'll say that again. Confront the unknown with confidence in the one who knows. See, God knows the future. We don't. And that all of that unknown, all the things that could happen to us, oh my goodness, you realize what could happen to us? But God knows what's going to happen. And he says he's going to be with us. That should comfort our hearts. Recognize that there's someone who knows the future. And he's given us his word to depend on, all right? We can't predict if there's going to be a terrorist attack or war. I can't predict that you're not going to get sick this week or that one of us isn't going to drop dead, all right? Thank the Lord, I have reservations. Okay? If I drop dead and I leave this world, I've got reservations. You know, I don't mean reservations that I'm worried. I mean I've got reservations of a place that God has prepared for me. All right? That kind of assurance, based on the Word of God, it's what should keep us from being overcome by fear. All right? Praise the Lord. There are all kinds of troubling unknowns that might or might not unfold in our lives, but we do know that God's promises are true, and that he will always keep his promises. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. How can we cash in on those promises? We know that we'll be able to study the scriptures and obey them, just like God said to Joshua. Joshua 1:8. Meditate on the word of God day and night, so that you may be sure to obey all that's written in it. Only then will you succeed. That's why we need to be spending more time thinking about the Word of God and his promises than the news. Okay? Oh, gee, we've got a couple minutes. I think I'll bring my phone out now. Oh, let's see what's... Oh, I can't believe that's happening. Do you have a phone app that has the Bible on it? Maybe when you've got a few minutes and you want to read something, it'd be a good idea to get that out. And you know what? I think yours does too. Mine will connect to the sound system in my car, and I can just press play. And while I'm going down the road, I can be listening to the Word of God and stuffing that into my brain and into my heart so that I can be thinking about it. And maybe I need to pop those earbuds out once in a while and just talk to God and listen to Him and ask Him about the things that are in His Word and meditate on them. Meditate, that means to think deep and long about what God is saying. Okay? Meditate on the Word of God. Keep thinking about what God says. And the news you hear, and pray for His will to be done. You ever do that? When you hear the news, say, God, go to work in that. You said this, Lord, I'm claiming that promise. See, that's what it means to meditate on the Word of God. All right, keep thinking about it. Apply it in your life. It was such important advice for Joshua that God told him over and over. Maybe you noticed this in the passage. Something about how many times God said it. Let's count them. Be strong and courageous, verse 6. Be strong and very courageous, verse 7. I command you, be strong and courageous, verse 9. Three times in one short paragraph, God tells Joshua the same thing. And then he adds at the end, do not be afraid or discouraged. Kind of the same thing in a different way. All right? I just want to remind you, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. In case you've forgotten, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. That's what God said to Joshua. Sounds like maybe Joshua had some wobbly knees, or at least a lump in his throat about what was coming and the responsibility that he had to take on. All right? And no wonder. He was going into the promised land and facing a war with some really tough enemies. All right? But armed with God's promises, more than with well-equipped troops, this new commander-in-chief is told to keep his mind on the Lord and recognize that God's going to be with him and fill his mind with God's Word. How do we fill our minds with God's Word? Well, reading is one thing, you know. And then there's meditating on it, and then there's memorizing it, right? And then there's putting it into effect. Somebody said that's kind of like taking your four fingers and grabbing a hold. If I hold the Bible like this and I want you to take it from me, that's pretty easy, isn't it? If I just read it, you know, or if I just listen to somebody else read it, okay? But then if I start meditating on it, that's like having two fingers, see? If I memorize it, that's like three fingers, okay? If I put it into my life, that's like four fingers. Now I know it's true. And it's going to be a lot harder for the devil to pull that word away from me. Praise the Lord. If the fear of terrorism and war, financial problems, health problems, disease, unrest, if all those things get the best of you, here's a good scripture to memorize. Romans 8, 28 and 29. I think I got that reference wrong. All right? No, I'm sorry. That is correct. Romans 8, 38 and 39. I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from his love. Death can't, life can't, the angels can't, the demons can't. Our fears for today, our worries about tomorrow, and even the powers of hell can't keep God's love away. Whether we're high above the sky or in the deepest ocean, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that's revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. By the way, that's the New Living Translation that I think kind of illuminates that. So here's an assignment for this week. When you're afraid, surprise yourself. Be strong and courageous. Did I mention that before? Be strong and courageous. And God give you the faith to trust in the promises of His Word. And when you do, you'll be able to encourage others to trust God too. Just like Joshua did. Okay? If you look at chapter 10, when they were in some of these battles, we see that that Joshua said to them, "Do not be afraid, do not be discouraged, be strong and courageous." Now I said that, we get overwhelmed by the unknown when God knows what's going to happen. See, God was telling him, be strong and courageous, be strong and courageous, be strong and courageous. Go into battle, all right? Because God knew what was going to happen if they obeyed him. God knew. Joshua and the others went into battle, and God told them to send the praise team out first. Okay? Don't believe me? Read Joshua chapter 6. Okay? He told them to send out the priest and the Levites with the ram's horns, like we blow every week, and to go march around the city of Jericho 7 times, you know. And just like we sang this morning, I'm sure after day 6, a lot of people were saying, I thought these walls would fall by now. Right? We sang that song today. You get a little discouraged, see? Don't be discouraged, God said. All right? Because He knows what's going to happen. He knows that on day 7, when they went around the city again, the walls fell down. And you know what's really fascinating? The people who excavated Jericho, all right, can testify to this fact. The walls of the city fell out. That doesn't happen when an army knocks them down. Okay, if an army attacks a city and they knock the walls down, they fall in. But in this case, the walls fell out. No foolish army would knock their own walls down. No, it was God who did that. All right. All that they had to do, all the Israelites had to do, was praise God. And the walls came down. Wow. See, God knows the unknown. That's why we can trust Him, right? But the war wasn't over. The next town they went against, they got whipped. Straggled home, discouraged, beaten. If you know the story, you know it's because somebody disobeyed God and took some stuff they weren't supposed to take from Jericho, right? And because there was sin in the camp, he said, then they were defeated until they made things right again. They did what God told them to do. And when they did what God told them to do, they were able to defeat Ai and the people there. Okay. But as time went on, they got tired of fighting. Do you ever get tired of fighting? Yeah. They got tired of fighting. They decided, you know, it's easier, we'll just make peace with our enemies. Well, you know what? The remnant of the Canaanites rose up and attacked them from time to time. And hey, it's still happening today, October 7th. You know? That's because they didn't finish the job that God told them to do. See, obeying God's commands is so, so important if we want to be able to conquer fear in our lives. So they're a lot like us. Jesus won the victory, but we still get attacked by our enemy Satan, right? He's officially defeated, but he doesn't know it yet. So he's still making trouble. And like the Bible says, his time is short. Hallelujah. But that's making him work harder. Okay? And we need to learn to go to battle every day, sometimes every hour of the day in prayer. Battling in prayer helps you deal with fear and have courage as well as you put on the armor of God. Now this is a familiar passage from Ephesians 6, verses 10 to 13 and verse 18. Where it says, finally be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's scheme. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you will be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything, to stand. And then verse 18, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and with requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Now, we're going to take time, it's a whole other message and everything, to talk about all the armor. Most of you are familiar with it, you know. The point is, we're to do battle in prayer. And that's what the armor's for. So that when the evil day comes, remember, evil days come for Christians. Evil days came for Jesus and for the disciples, right? They were terribly persecuted. Evil days come. We've got to be ready for them. You need to have your armor on to defend yourself. The devil's schemes, he talks about. In another passage, he talks about the flaming arrows of the wicked one. What are those flaming arrows? They're those things where he hits your heart with, oh no. It might be fear. Okay? It might be regret for what you said or did. It might be something else that someone said to you. That's one of those flaming arrows that hit your heart. Okay? Having God's armor on, trusting in Him, spending time in prayer, that makes you able to put out the fire from those flaming arrows so that you can go on when the evil day comes. The Vietnam War film, We Were Soldiers and Young, tells the story of Colonel Hal Moore of the 7th Cavalry in Vietnam. Moore is a famously courageous man, and he gained much of that courage from prayer. One of his young soldiers asked him once if he was afraid. Of course he said. But it's not whether you're afraid that matters, it's what you do when you are afraid. When the day of evil comes, you'll be ready if you put on the armor of God. Right. If you have faith, you won't let fear stop you. Every Christian should always remember that healthy fear is wisdom, but panicky fear is a scheme of Satan to try to disable you so that you can't serve the Lord. The Bible tells us fear doesn't come from God. Faith does. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. When you're feeling afraid, ask God through the Holy Spirit to fill you with that power, that love, and that self-discipline so that you can continue to obey God even when things are fearful. And you know what? You'll come through the battles of your life. You may not avoid them, but you'll come through victorious. Okay? The kind of power that comes from the Holy Spirit sustains us when we fear and gives us very practical advice on how to appropriate the Spirit's peace. We find it in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Do not be anxious about anything. Do not be anxious about anything. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything. How many things? Everything. By prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Very practical advice. Identify what fear is crippling. I'm afraid, Lord, that I'm going to get sick. Okay. I'm afraid that we're not going to have enough money. I'm afraid that you fill in the blank. Okay. Tell God your fear and then ask Him for what you want to happen. It's really that simple. Ask Him for what you want to happen. But here's the tough part. With thanksgiving. Not complaining, but thanksgiving. Right? How can you thank God when you just got a report from the doctor that they need to do another test because something showed up on that CAT scan? And you're afraid. How can you be thankful? You can thank God for what He's going to do. That's what it comes down to, see. And that needs to be part of your prayer. You need to pray, Lord, this is what I want to happen. But I'm trusting You. And I want to thank You for what You're going to do. It's that simple. One of those simple things that's not easy. Okay? But ask God to give you the faith to be thankful for what He's going to do, even when you don't know what He's going to do, but you trust Him. That's where faith comes in. Okay, let's review what we've learned so that we can know what we can do to overcome fear. First off, face the unknown with faith in the unfailing promises of God's Word. You can't do that unless you've meditated on it. You've got to stuff that Word in your head so the Holy Spirit can remind you. Okay, so that's one thing. Make war in the heavenly realms in prayer, dressed in God's armor. Right? Get on your knees and fight like a man. I love that old Petra song. Right? Sorry, ladies. And you can fight like a lady, too. Okay, that's fine. But get on your knees. That's where the war is. Get on your knees. Continually ask God to fill you with His fearless Holy Spirit of peace, and pray with thanksgiving for what God's going to do. All right, these are all key things in overcoming the fear of war and poverty and sickness and crime and terrorism, and they all call upon us to put our trust in God, to know that He will bring us through anything with His grace. All right, that's why David could write these words when he was being imprisoned by the Philistines. Psalm 56, 3 and 4. When I am afraid, I will trust in You. In God, whose word I praise. In God I trust. I will not be afraid. What can mortal man do to me? What can men do to you? Well, they can bankrupt you. They can kill you. Right? They can do all kinds of things to you. But God. But God is faithful. David says, I will not be afraid. It's a choice. And if you choose as an act of the will, not to be afraid when it would make all kinds of sense to be afraid. And instead, put your trust in God. He will help you through the fear and the battle to overcome. Let's do that. Let's seek to be filled with His Spirit so that we can avoid thinking we're grasshoppers, to overcome fear and live in faith. Let's pray. Lord, help us to put our trust in You today, Lord. As, Lord, fearful thoughts take over our minds when we take our eyes off You and we feel afraid. Lord, in those times, remind us of who You are, that You promised to be with us, Lord. Even as Jesus said, I'll be with you always, even to the end of the world, so that we can trust Your promises. Help us to put on Your armor so we can stand against the darts of the devil, Lord, and then breathe Your Spirit of peace into us and guard our hearts and minds as You live in us, Lord. Help us to choose faith over fear, Lord, and say, I will not be afraid. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Before we close, I want to just mention that if you need prayer for something, if you'd like to be introduced to Jesus and learn how you can follow Him, that's one of the things we're here for today. And we'd like to do that with you. And you can come around right now, and we'll pray with you. If you have another need for prayer, we'll be down here, and we'll be glad to help you to touch God today so that He can touch you. God bless you. You're dismissed.